His brothers and sisters in the Lord, that behind a frowning providence, that God hides a smiling face. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. We'll read the entire chapter beginning from verse 1 all the way to verse 22. But our scripture text would be verses 19 to 22. And before we read God's holy word, let us ask God for his blessings. Shall we pray? Father of lights, in you there is no variation or shadow. Please remove the shadows and barriers in our hearts that would prevent us from hearing your word. Lord Jesus Christ, in you is life. And that light, that life is the light of men. Please give us new life through your word. Holy Spirit, you are the light that gives understanding to human mind and heart. Please dispel the ignorance of our hearts. Help us, Triune God, to see you clearly in the pages of the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Arpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord has visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death pass me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said, "No more." And this will be our text for this morning, beginning at verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me? And the Almighty has brought calamity upon me." So Naomi returned, and the Ruth the Moabite, a daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Bible warns us against bitterness. The Bible commands us not to be bitter. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the scripture says, "Put away all bitterness." Bitterness, it affects you. It not only affects you, it affects the people around you. It not only affects you and the people around you, more importantly, it affects your relationship with God. And sometimes bitterness can harden the heart so much that it can make a person to blaspheme God, and sometimes it might even lead to downright atheism. Let me give you an example for this. We are all familiar with the story of Job. In the first two chapters of the book of Job, you know that Job lost his entire wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. But he still believed in God. But on the other hand, his wife, she was bitter. She was so bitter that in Job chapter 2, verse 9, she says, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." She was so bitter in her soul that she encouraged Job to do that. Curse God and die. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon this morning, that Naomi's bitterness blinds her to the providence of God. Naomi's bitterness blinds her to the providence of God. We'll see this truth in two different points. How Naomi's bitterness blinds her to the physical realities, and how Naomi's bitterness blinds her to the physical, to the spiritual realities. Now let us consider the first point. Naomi's bitterness blinds her to the physical realities. If you look with me in verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" We need to understand verse 19. That's why we read the entire passage. If you see in the preceding verses, Naomi is coming to Bethlehem with bitterness in her heart. In fact, in verse 13, she goes to say, "No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord is against me." And on the top of that, she is not able to convince Ruth to not stop falling from her. She was so impotent that she was so bitter with that she gave Ruth a cold shoulder. She gave Ruth a cold shoulder. She refused to talk with her. You see in verse 18, that's what it says. And when Naomi saw that, she was determined to go with her. She said, "No more." And that's the context she's coming in. This is the attitude which Naomi is entering Bethlehem. But when the women of Bethlehem, when they see her, there is joy going on. In fact, it says the whole town was cheered because of two women. And it is interesting to note that this phenomenon occurs in the gospel accounts too. In fact, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, it says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' And likewise, the women in our passage, when they saw Naomi coming back from Moab to Bethlehem, they asked, 'Is this Naomi?'" The covenant community was excited to see her back. "Is this Naomi who left us to Moab? And now she has come back to us after this 10 long years." But on the other hand, Naomi, she was fully absorbed in our bitterness. She is not able to see the excitement. She is not able to see how the town is like talking about her. But look at verse 20. She says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." This is the second time Naomi is sorry. Her bitterness is because of God. The first time she did was with her daughter-in-law, and now she's saying to this covenant community, "God is bitter to me. God has dealt bitterly with me." You see, Naomi's bitterness in her heart, it blinded her to three physical realities. The first one is that she cannot love or value how grateful the covenant community of Israel is. She cannot see that. The second thing is, she is not able to see that she has Ruth. She says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She doesn't know the value of her daughter-in-law. In fact, if you see in chapter 4, verse 15, the women in the town, they call Ruth more than seven sons. She's better than seven sons. But Naomi, on the other hand, she's not able to see that. And more importantly, she's not able to see that it is God who brought her back from Moab to Bethlehem. When she left Bethlehem, it was in famine. But now, God has strategically brought her at the beginning of barley harvest. And now, Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, it is living up to its name. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, seeing is such a precious gift from God. It's such a precious gift from God. But bitterness, on the other hand, it's a powerful, powerful blinder. It blinds you totally. Let me give you an example. Men, this happened to us often, especially on Sundays. You want to bring your family to the church early, so you make your kids ready and make them to go to the car, and now you want to start the car, you can't find your car keys. And you'll be like, what's going on? Where did I left my car keys? And you search everywhere, and finally ask your wife, honey, I couldn't find my car key. I don't know where it is. And your wife, every time she comes and she tells you, she points you to the kitchen counter. It's right there. Why can't you see it? And then, yeah, I did see it, but I missed it. It happens to us often, is it not? It's the same thing when we have bitterness in our heart. We won't be able to see. John Piper, he says, God is doing 10,000 things in our lives, and we may be aware of 3 of them. God is doing 10,000 things in our life, and we may be aware of 3 of them. And brothers and sisters of the Lord, when we have bitterness in our hearts, I assure you, we will see none of them. We'll see none of them. And that's the question today we need to ask ourselves. Are we like Naomi? Are we doing this? Are the things in our lives that we are resentful and upset about, is bitterness rooted in our hearts? Does it blind us to physical realities? Are we thankful that we have a church family? Are we excited that Caitlin Van Dellen, she can become a part of Faith URC? And boys and girls, are you thankful that your parents feed you every day? Are we thankful that we have a house to live in and cars to drive? We need to ask ourselves this question. And when we sing this song, Count Your Blessings One by One, which is found in hymn 563 of our Trinity Psalter hymnal, is that a reality in our lives? Do we count our blessings one by one and name them to the Lord? If that's the case, praise be to God. Praise be to God. And if not, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us ask God. Let us ask Him to give us a sensitive heart, to give us a grateful heart, so that we can see God's goodness that's all around us. Now let us deal with the second point of the sermon. Naomi's bitterness blinds her of her spiritual realities. Now look with me again in verse 20. She said to them, "Do not call Naomi, call me Mara." If you see this, Naomi is confident. Naomi is pretty sure that God has afflicted her and He has dealt bitterly with her. And that's why she says, "Guys, please don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Instead, call me Mara," which means bitter. And we can safely assume that Naomi knows the story. And if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. Naomi is a covenant, belongs to the covenant community, and she knows the stories of the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Naomi, she knows the story. In Exodus 15, in Marah, God made the bitter water sweet. But whereas in my case, that's the reverse. My name is Naomi, but God has made my life bitter. That's what Naomi is saying. She's thinking God has been cruel. She's thinking God has been unkind to her, and that's why God has turned her sweet life into bitterness. She does not understand the providence of God. And again, brothers and sisters in the Lord, I would encourage you to turn with me to the Trinity Psalter hymnal, to Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10, question 27 and answer 27. You can find that in page 876 of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 10. Question 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? The answer. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which God upholds, as with his hands, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. You see, brothers and sisters in the Lord, Naomi's bitterness makes her blind. She thinks God is doing this because God hates her. But the fact is, all those things, sickness, poverty, leanness, they don't come by chance, but they come from the fatherly hand of God. It's from the fatherly hand of God. Now look with me again to verse 21. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Naomi is saying to this woman, I had an husband, Elimelech. I had two sons, two beautiful, handsome sons, Mahlon and Chilion. I had a future, had hopes, I had dreams, I had expectations of all this new and wonderful opportunity. I went away full. But the Lord has brought me back empty. But I say to you, my name doesn't fit me anymore. My life does not match my name. So stop calling me Naomi. Call me Marah. We often do this, don't we, brothers and sisters in the Lord? We judge God's love and his faithfulness by our own standards, by how God meets our desires, our longings. You would say, I have been a regular churchgoer. I have been faithful to my husband all this while. But I cannot conceive. I cannot have a child. But I know millions of babies are aborted every day in the U.S. And you would ask, why is God doing this to me? Dear sisters in the Lord, let bitterness not rule over your heart. God knows you. He knows your pain. He loves you. And He cares for you. And some of you brothers, you would be saying, I've been an honest businessman. I pay my tithe. I come to the church every day. And I deal my business with a clean hand. And this COVID-19, it struck my business completely. Is this the way, God, you repaid me? Is this the way you show your faithfulness to me, God? Brothers, let not bitterness grow in your heart. God knows you and He loves you. All things, in fact, sickness, poverty, leanness, does not come by chance, but from God's fatherly hand. Too often, we too, like Naomi, we get bitter and we are blind to God's providence because we don't get what we want. But at the same time, as I told you at the beginning of my sermon illustration, Job, look at him, brothers and sisters in the Lord. The book of Job was there for a purpose. Health completely gone, children completely gone, wealth completely gone. But what does Job say? He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will go. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. God's name to be praised. Praise the Lord for that. You see, Job did not allow the bitterness of his circumstances to be rooted in his heart. In fact, he found his joy and his comfort by looking to God. Let me give you an illustration. I know there are many children here. Like men, I assume that when you are having your child, for example, a three-year-old child, you toss them up in the air. They are happy, right? And you catch them. And you know how it goes. They make you weary and tired. My question is, when you throw a three-year-old up in the air, why are they not afraid? Why are they not afraid of the height? Why are they not afraid that they will fall on the ground? Why are they not afraid that they will get hurt? Why? It's because they look to you. They trust you. Is it not? They look to you for your protection. And likewise, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I urge you, in the name of Christ Jesus, do not let bitterness rule over your life. Do not let your joy be dependent upon your circumstance of life, of your lives. But look to Jesus Christ. But trust on the Holy Spirit, who has the power to transfer our lives. And He is the one, and only it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, even in your deepest, darkest hours, you can say with the psalmist, who have I in heaven but you? I have nothing desire in the earth besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now again, look at me in verse 21. The final half of the verse 21. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me? You see, brothers and sisters in the Lord, Naomi is thinking, God is punishing me because I left the promised land at the first place. She is thinking the covenant curse that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning from verse 15 to 19. She's saying to herself, my life is ruined. God wants to make my life miserable. Boys and girls, God is not a boogeyman up in the sky. He's trying to get you. He's not a cosmic bully trying to force you to obey. Children, listen to me. When Jesus said, "Heli, Heli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's where, brothers and sisters of the Lord, God testified against you and me. That's where God testified. Jesus took our spot. Christian, God testified against His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that He will never testify against us. Christian, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on the tree." Christian, God made Him who knew no sin so that in Christ Jesus we will become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that God will never ever testify against His children. Now again, look with me in the final half of verse 21. She says, "The Almighty has brought calamity upon me." The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. Amos 3:6, it says, "Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord done it?" But the author of the book of Ruth did not say, "God has brought calamity upon Naomi." But Naomi's bitterness to God's justice makes her to think like that. She has a screw view of God's providence and God's sovereignty. Again, brothers and sisters of the Lord, God will never bring calamity upon His children to destroy them. This is far from God's character. God will chastise us. God will discipline us. But God will never destroy us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Listen to what the famous atheist Sam Harris has to say about that. "Either God can do nothing to stop calamities like this," he was referring to the 9/11 and the tsunamis, "or He does not care to, or He does not exist. God is either impotent, evil, or imaginary. Take your pick and choose wisely." Maybe this is what you are constantly hearing from your college community. Maybe this is what your unbelieving relatives are saying to you. I don't know, maybe this is what some of you might even believe. Like, you see bitterness unchecked. It will lead you to the path of Job's wife, who says, "Curse God and die." And that's why we have our catechism. That's why we have our Bibles. Again, look with me in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, question 28 and answer 28. What does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature will separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. That's the answer, brothers and sisters in the Lord. God's providence. When things are going tough, we can trust in God. When things are going well, we can be thankful to the Lord. And in the future, no matter what, we have this promise. Nothing, no creature will separate us from the love of God. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says this to us. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's the great news of the gospel. The great news is, even an atheist like Sam Harris is not far from God's grace. Because we have an example in the scriptures. Think about Apostle Paul. He was the chief of all sinners, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent of the gospel. But God's grace changed him. God came and touched him and transformed him. And the same grace that transformed Apostle Paul is with us now. It can touch us and transform us. But the question today is, will you examine your heart? Will you call upon our Jesus Christ? Will you look to Him and cling to Him who made this promise, my grace is sufficient for you, and in your weakness, my strength is revealed. Look to Jesus, brothers and sisters in the Lord, because He can heal our bitter heart, for He died even for the sin of bitterness. And finally, let us be on our guard against bitterness, for bitterness blinds us to God's providence. It makes us cold and it makes us indifferent to God. It can make us ungrateful, unthankful to His goodness and mercy. But praise be to God for His Son Jesus Christ, who saves us, who heals us, even from the sin of bitterness. And because we have Jesus with us, we can sing with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of the dead, I fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we are very grateful that you do not treat us as our sin deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. We are very grateful that you will never testify against us, nor bring calamity upon us, because Christ took our place. He was smitten for us. Help us, we pray, that your Spirit would guard our hearts against all bitterness, and Christ Jesus would rule supreme in our hearts and in our lives. In this mighty name, we pray. Amen.